Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
This just in, Patrick Manelli.
Patrick Manelli, the longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
I want to thank the Bears organization for an incredible 16 years.
Score Football, pre- and post-game show co-host.
So I got to give Jake Moody one just for making the game winner in those conditions. Mm-hmm. Bouncing back after getting one blocked, coming in, making four or five. And those conditions, when you see the TV and the wind blowing and the rain coming down and the field looking the way it did, a lot of credit to him for making that happen.
He even has a signature beer.
Long Snapper IPA. The can, the artwork's me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino. I have an El Camino, so the artwork's great. The beer's great.
Patrick Manelli with Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Gotta wait for the two chords to kick in before you introduce Patrick Manelli. Those are the rules. I don't make the rules. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody, and we are joined by Patrick Manelli on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today, as this is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Patrick, I feel like the last time I talked to you, it wasn't after the Vegas game. I have not gotten to talk to you after wins, plural, in a while. So I
three think, of them.
Yeah, the last time that I had a conversation with you after a win, it's been a minute. So how are you feeling after watching a Bears team eke out three wins in a row?
Grody, I'm off the drugs.
Oh, it's official.
I'm officially off the drugs.
Okay,
I went
yeah.
to treatment and got off the drugs, mm-hmm. so I'm good. 3 weeks of wins will get you off the drugs.
Yeah,
so I'm feeling a whole lot better.
Yeah, those
for those of us who don't know the drugs, can you explain? Because that sounds hilarious out of context.
Well, I can explain it. It was after the Detroit loss, where yes. basically we were all throwing our arms up in the air. You were just befuddled. You were at a yes. point where you were embarrassed for the youth watching
yes,
this Bears team,
yes.
and I was like, Robbie, let's get him started on a Lexapro program. Let's start him at 10 milligrams. I felt like we had to go up to 20. Then we weaned you off of it a little bit after the win over Vegas, I believe. And then now, you said it, you are fully
yes.
off the Lexapro. Why are you feeling so good about the Chicago Bears
right now? Well, hold on. Also, now the 5 and 10-year-olds here, 5 to 10-year-olds here in Chicago now can be Bears fans. Now they understand what winning is like. Now they get the feeling. Now they see mom and dad excited and they get what's happened in the past.
The omerta has been lifted.
Yeah, but Grody, to answer your question, it's one of those games where you're writing kind of your narrative at the end of the game, right, for the post game of how it can go if they lose, what are you going to say? And then you talk about the negatives. They have, you know, the drops, the lineup offsides by DJ, a blocked kick, and that's what losing teams do. Then all of a sudden they come down in the fourth quarter and they go down there and they make the kick to win. And obviously that's what winning teams do. They overcome their mistakes. They overcome the negativity. And that's what's getting me excited about this team and getting me off my drugs is because they did do that. In the past, we haven't seen that, guys. What we've done is we would have had this conversation like, well, DJ can't line up onside. Zacchaeus can't catch a ball. Jake Moody can't hit a field goal. We can't protect. He hits a low ball. But now they overcome it. And credit to that team. Credit to Ben Johnson and the belief he's got in the locker room.
Robbie, cancel the script because they'll keep charging us. Marshall, go ahead.
Or he's on Bears a Pro.
I've just been taking them. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's Bears a Pro. I like
Bears
it.
Bears a Pro.
Bears Pro.
I like it.
I'm going to get sued by somebody if I keep this mess up.
No, I like it because if you remember, after the win,
after you were on the drugs. Then we had to give the drugs to Mark because he was having troubles with the Raiders because he was like, I can't believe they won in this fashion against the Raiders. Can you help me walk Mark down the path of understanding that, yes, these aren't the greatest wins of all time, but they are important building blocks for Ben Johnson so that when they actually do have a better run team, like doing the things that they want, not making as many mistakes, that they're going to be in a great position to be a great program, Patrick?
Yes. Yeah. Ben Johnson said it. I think it was in his post game. He said, these wins are more important than blowouts. They are. Because when you have blowouts, you just kind of wash those away. You just kind of chalked it up to you had a great day, they had a bad day. Most of these NFL games come down to the fourth quarter, final possession, 3 points, 7 points, whatever it is. And to have that belief and get it done 2 weeks in a row, that's character building. And then also for a new staff, a staff learning players, players learning players, there's a lot of new guys on this team. They're learning each other. So there is belief, and I think that is important. And that's a culture-setting thing that's, you know, that Ben Johnson is setting forth. He talked about setting a high standard, right? He wanted that standard set real high. He wanted you to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And then now he's got these guys believing they can win in the fourth quarter. And what happens there, Marshall, is you start looking at each other and you start believing in your teammates. You start believing in your playmakers that somebody's going to make a play. And that might have been DeAndre Swift in the O-line in the fourth quarter going down and running the ball kind of down their throat and putting them in the position to kick that field goal. So these wins go a long way for that locker room. It goes a long way for belief. It'll go a long way for Ben Johnson's tenure.
Our segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Another part of it, too, for me, Patrick, is that's why I did think it was so important and so crucial that in the first 15 plays we saw, there was success early. You know, I know in this game they end up with a field goal and not a touchdown after their first drive, but to have that work, I'm sure there are moments, you know, as a former athlete where you're saying to yourself with years of experience as a professional, I don't think this is going to work. And they're like, just trust us. And you're like, man, I've been here. I don't know how much I can trust you. And so for them to even have those work, even in a loss, I feel like they're setting the example of trust and knowing this can be different.
Yeah. Well, what you're seeing, I think, is, you know, they're baby steps, right? Before they wouldn't score any points. We would see a three and out. We'd see offsides. We'd see a penalty put into a third and 15, you know, maybe after five plays and they'd punt. But now you're seeing progress. You're seeing baby steps, like I said. You're seeing at least points. In time, I think they can turn those into touchdowns. And they can turn those turnovers into touchdowns, not just 13 points off of turnover. So you are seeing progress. And what I've seen over the last 5 weeks is, and I talked about it on the pre- and post-game show, that I feel like Ben Johnson is still learning. You know, he's got his Christmas, you know, his toys he's opening up at Christmas, and he's figuring out which ones he wants to play with and who's going to be more fun whatever day to play with. And I think he's trying to figure that out. That's why you're not seeing, you know, I think I heard you guys talking about earlier, where are the tight ends? I think you'll see that later. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this week was DeAndre Swift's game. Next week it might be Roma Dunze again. It might be a DJ Moore game. And I think what you're seeing is the progress of this team of Ben Johnson figuring them out. And most importantly, I think he's figuring out Caleb. And I think Caleb is figuring out Ben Johnson. And we're seeing Caleb turn into a pro quarterback. He's starting to play pro football as a pro football quarterback instead of a college quarterback at the pro level. And we're seeing that growth, and I like that. And I think those 3 points, it was going from 0 points to 3 points, and they'll turn into 7 points in the opening drives.
Patrick, I'm curious because you brought up Caleb and just what you've seen in this game, coming out of the bye, the 15 days without a game, versus what you saw at the start of the season. Where have you seen the growth the most with Caleb Williams under Ben Johnson?
I heard you talk about it earlier and you didn't like it, the conservative part of it, you know, the throw to, was it Rome, the mailbox throw that he was wide open. He's taking the easy play, right? He's taking the first down. He got the first down. He got the chains moving.
Yep.
I like that. I like to see him do that. Give him time and let him take the chances. He said he'll be Superman when he needs to be Superman. Maybe in the future when he gets more comfortable, a little more confident with Ben Johnson in his offense, he'll make that throw. But that's what I'm seeing. He's getting first downs. He's possessing the ball. He's playing from the pocket. He looks a lot more comfortable. And then you talk about who outplayed who, Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams. I thought he outplayed Jaden Daniels. He had zero turnovers again. Jaden Daniels had two. That's the most important thing. You know, you'll hear about the stats of winning the turnover battle and 11 turnovers in three games is amazing by the defense. Zero for the offense is even better. So that's what I see. I see growth there that he's becoming a pro quarterback and taking what's given. And he has room for growth, what I think is exciting as well.
Mr. Manley, Jake Moody was his own entity last night. Nobody knew who the hell he was and why he existed and why he was in the Bears locker room and why he was watching in D.C. Guys were literally getting to know him after the game, and then he hits the game-winning 38-yard field goal, 4 of 5. He missed one as well. What did you think about the Jake Moody entity?
Happy for him, man. It's a tough start he had in San Francisco, right? Being a third-round pick, there's a lot on your shoulders taking over. The great Robbie Gould, my good buddy out there in San Francisco. But to come into a tough situation and hit that game winner after getting one blocked. And I just watched it there on the All-22. It looked like he hit it low. There was some pressure in the A-gap between Scott Daly and Jonah Jackson as well. But I think that's more on Jake Moody kicking it low. But again, credit to him going back out there in that situation. You heard it there in the opening. I mean, that's tough, man. That wind, a new field, a new stadium, the grass, wet, all that stuff. That's very, very difficult. New holder, new snapper. And for him to go out there and hit the clutch field goal at the end, I got to give him credit. But I want to say this, Grody. My favorite thing about – we played his post-game press conference, and he opened it up by talking about that nobody really knew him. Mm-hmm. They didn't know his name. He hadn't introduced himself to anybody. I said – that's the way a practice squad kicker should be. Nobody should know who you are. Keep your mouth shut and just do your work on the other field. And when it comes time to get your number called, go out and do your job, and he did, and I'm happy for him.
Played it perfectly.
I mean, you're right about that, Patrick. You would know better than we do about how you're supposed to act on a team.
Yes.
And we giggled about it, but also even in his post-game interview, he was so calm, and I'm also thinking to myself, well, that's what you want. You want that guy to be calm. You don't necessarily need him to be amped.
That was a tough one.
Layla, you're right. One other thing, too, is when they zoomed in on his eyes for that final kick, you can read a person's face, right? You can tell when somebody's stressed. You can tell when somebody's kind of on point or focused in. He looked like he was focused in. You've seen other kickers. We've seen other kickers here that have that scared look across their face. Mm-hmm. He had eyes that he was going to make that thing, and he had confident eyes. And That goes a long way, and that says a lot about that young man going out there and getting that one block and going out there and making that game winner on a new team, new teammates in that environment. So credit to him, happy for the team, happy for us, happy I'm off my meds.
I hate to be the one to might make you reconsider that decision, but I also did think to myself, after that missed 48-yarder that got blocked, I'm like, how did they find a guy with a lower trajectory than the kicker they already had?
It looked to me, and it'll be interesting to see if he will talk about it. His plant foot looked like it slid just a little bit. Mm. And when you slide a little bit, you know, your swing leg is going to come in at a different angle to the ball. And I think that might have had something to do with the wet field. But there also was penetration. But where it was blocked was head level, not hand level. I think it was Deron Payne. I think it hit him in the face. So when you see it hit somebody in the face, that's on the kicker. But I think there's just some stuff that happened there. And it'll be interesting to see if, when he goes back and looks at the tape and if he gives us the honest assessment of what happened, but that's what I saw.
Well, and even in the made ones before that, there was a bit of an arc where you're asking, you know, what is the trajectory that ball has to take to get there, you know?
He hits a decent kick. He hits a higher ball than Cairo.
Okay.
I will say it. Cairo is one of the lower kickers in the league. Cairo has more of a driving kick. Jake gets a little more lift. And I think that's why he was a third-round pick, because when you see, you know, the lift on his ball and the rotation – and just his technique, and now he's changed his kind of – he's gone to a two-step from a three-step. He has that trajectory to not get one blocked, but I think he just hit that one low.
We are talking with Patrick Manley here on Raheemy Harris and Grody, and just to follow up on that, how concerned are you about Cairo Santos and the fact that he's dealing with a quad injury as a kicker? I mean, that doesn't seem like something that's small at all.
No, and I'm wondering now, you know, we all got on Ryan Poles when they signed Jake Moody. I'm like, what are they doing bringing a kicker on the practice squad? I think they're telling us. I think they knew there was something going on that could potentially get worse that might have been bothering Cairo for a couple weeks. So credit to Ryan Poles, if that is true, for bringing him in. And Cairo's been injured before. He's had muscle injuries before that cut his career short with Kansas City Chiefs, cut it short here before, I believe. So he has had injuries before with his leg and muscles. So Maybe they knew something was going on, so I got to give Ryan Poles credit if that is the problem.
If he misses another game and Moody goes out there and is 5-for-5 and 4-for-4 in another game, like, is there a possibility that the Bears, because you've watched Cairo Santos's entire career here, you know what he's capable of and what he's not capable of, and Moody, for that matter, it's not like he comes in as a Pro Bowler, but is there a chance? Could there be some funny stuff here? Could Moody supplant Cairo Santos? Should he, or is that just a crazy notion?
Well, I got to give Brad Biggs credit on this one. I will say I was thinking about it as well, though. But on the practice squad, if he stays on the practice squad, he can get plucked, right?
Yeah.
So if you keep him on the practice squad, another team can grab him, because he seems like he would be a guy that you would make him go up and down from the practice squad to the active roster. Or do you do roster gymnastics and keep him up all week so nobody can grab him, and you put somebody up and down, do somebody else up and down with that? But if he keeps making those kicks, somebody's going to get signed. You know, if Cairo gets cut, somebody's going to sign him. They're two. Let's say this. If he continues making his kicks, those are two of the best 32 kickers in the NFL that would supplant somebody else in somebody else's roster.
Yeah, they have to keep him up. Like, they, until they know that Cairo is
fully
healthy.
Yeah.
And even if he is, quote-unquote, fully healthy, let's be honest, it seems like an up-and-down situation going back to when he couldn't kick it up as far as they needed him to kick it out of the end zone.
I mean, yeah, there's also the kickoff element as well in this.
Yeah. No, and it's unfortunate for some other player on the roster for this. I had this happen for me when I had some nicked up injuries. I think we actually had to cut Shane Matthews for 2 or 3 days when I was younger, which was interesting. And it was a handshake deal. We're bringing you back. I know the roster is different now with as many practice squad players, but this means somebody else is going to have to deal with this. And that's the bad thing. And you do feel bad as a player when you're injured. I'm sure Cairo will feel bad for whoever that person is if they play the roster gymnastics this way.
Well, you know what? I've thought about this, and for all of the capital, you know, whether it's a draft pick for Torrey Taylor, the roster spots for both Cairo Santos and even his extension, you can look at that, although the guaranteed money goes away after this year, you know, and the extra roster spot for Moody. The flip side of this is that, indeed, it often comes down to a field goal. Like, how many games do we watch in the league this weekend where you're saying that to yourself?
We've seen too many times here, right? The double doink. We've seen block kicks last year that cost games. So it does come down to that. And I think if you rate the specialists, and I'll be honest, you rate the specialists, the kicker is number one, the punter is number two, the long snapper is number three. But I think the kicker is even twice as valuable as a punter. You know what I mean? I think they're that much more valuable on the roster just because coming down to the fourth quarter like you're talking about.
Before we let you go, I did want your thoughts on Theo Benedet getting that full action and how good running game looked with him doing his thing as a guy who is an undrafted free agent going back to last year.
I give him a lot of credit, man. The man's worked his butt off. What I like about him, he's got great technique. He has a very good quick set out of his both right and left tackle set. So he gets to the point, you know, the block point where, you know, the angle for the defensive end rushing. But he has very good technique. He's aggressive, throws his hands, knows what he's doing. I think that's one of the reasons why he's taken over for Braxton Jones. I think Braxton was having a lot of mental errors, and Theo doesn't seem like he's doing that. The other thing I like is that they look like they simplified the offensive run game plan, that they figured out, hey, we can't throw this much stuff at you guys. Let's simplify it. Let's stop the MAs, and MAs, I mean by mental errors would be ME. But it looks like they stopped that. You don't see many free runners through the hole. You don't see linebacker, safeties, or whoever running through the hole making big stops. It looked like they simplify the game plan, and get credit to Roshar and who's the running back's coach?
Bienemy.
For Bienemy doing that with Ben Johnson. I think that helped everybody up front. But Theo Benedet looked pretty good. He went against Jacob Martin, former Bear, which isn't a top-end DN, but he'll see some tougher competition in the weeks coming forward.
Patrick Manley, we always appreciate the time. I would also like to give you this update that one of our texters said that they had their Benny's here in Rockford special order long snapper IPA, and it is good.
Like it. Very good. I like that.
Yes. And then
love positive reviews.
And then also another texter says, don't forget to ask Manley about his stepmom inspiring Elvira by the Oak Ridge Boys.
That's it, Grody.
It blows me away, man. I can't even believe that. That is just beautiful.
Still amazing.
I'll give it real quick. My dad married Elvira, who was born and raised with one of the Oak Ridge Boys, and that's where Oompa Mau Mau, the song Elvira came from.
What?
That is how it started.
You didn't know that? Oh, you weren't here?
She is the original Elvira. Not the Queen of the Night or whatever it was, but the Oompa Mau Mau.
No, I got you. Famous people everywhere.
That's incredible to me.
The lyric is Oompa Mau Mau. I've been missing that one my whole life.
Mau Mau, giddy up. Yeah, no, he's right.
Okay.
You know, it's before they had a lot of cool synthesizer beats and such. They had to make it up as
they
went
played
along.
Music. That's right.
They played music.
Patrick Manley, he is never not entertaining and he is never not interesting. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show today.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right. Have a great day, guys. See ya.
Friendly reminder before Chicago takes on New Orleans. That's the next game. Tune in Sunday from 9 a.m. to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Patrick Manley, Olin Krutz, and Mully get you set for the game, and then immediately following, we have instant reaction on the postgame show. It is all presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. So, coming up next, we get back into some of the details behind this Bears game, and we have to revisit a mantra that Marshall came up with last year.
COE, baby, Caleb over everything.
So in the duel of highly picked quarterbacks last night, let's examine what we learned about Caleb Williams next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the 48, play action. Over the middle, it's Burton. Luther Burton makes a move after the catch and out of bounds near the 15. Caleb takes it, gets a block from Swift, and is in for the touchdown.
I've been able to come out victorious. In a dogfight where, you know, things weren't perfect, weather wasn't perfect, and being able to come out victorious is big for us.
Yeah, Luther Burton showed us what he got on that play, that's for sure. He wins by award for favorite play of the game. And also just use your damn skills against everybody, because that's exactly what happened. Burton used that body perfectly, adjusted to the ball, and then did a double move to get, 10 more yards on that play? That was sweet. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. The ball was thrown by one Caleb Williams. And last year, Marshall had talked about his theory of COE. It was an acronym we decided to keep. Of all the ones that have come and gone over this time, Caleb over everything still remains supreme. And when you try to figure out the progress that the quarterback made in a very important game following a bye week of evaluation, this is one we have to examine.
Here's why COE is so important and imperative, because without a quarterback in this league, you're not going anywhere. You can go a little bit. You can go down the road, but you're not going where you want to go, which is to Super Bowl contender and to a potential championship. So with Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, they've got what they believe to be the guy. But is he developing like you need that guy to develop? We've seen so many horror stories and so many second runs with guys. Baker Mayfield's a great example right now of a guy who didn't work out in his first spot, had to go several different places before finding himself. But you believe Ben Johnson is the guy who can get him where he needs to be. So last year, it was all about Caleb over everything. That has not changed as we look to go on this journey to seeing Caleb become a franchise-level quarterback. And I think we have seen a fair development track that I think we can all get on board with, even though he has not been quote-unquote Superman every time out. He's done the things in Ben Johnson's offense, which has made the offense function. I want to point out a couple of things. One, the Bears scored 25 points yesterday. They got out to a 13-0 lead. They scored on their first three drives. They didn't always get into the end zone, but the ball was being moved up and down the field.
They came away with points.
Caleb looks like a guy who is running a functioning offense to that point. They're in the top 10 in scoring in the league, averaging 25 points a game, which is great news because I think everybody would sign up for that, understanding that, one, it's a first-year head coach getting his system in place, but also that Caleb Williams is having to learn that new system. And I think I can nitpick some of the things that Caleb Williams did not do well. Do you know how frustrated I got when they were up and Caleb Williams turns to his left? It's a 13-7 game. Washington's finally scored their first touchdown of the game. And on an important play, he throws on first and 10 to his left to DeAndre Swift. And DeAndre Swift has to go down, pick it up off the ground, which we later figured out it was off the ground because the play was challenged in reverse. That is a very basic play.
Yeah, that's the one thing that you were looking toward, was you didn't want that ball specifically to make appearances in later games this season.
And so I'm just looking for things to be pedestrian and everything that's supposed to happen at a normal pace to do so. I don't know that we saw that in every single time that he had the ball, but I saw enough of it, especially being on the road with the weather conditions being what there were, to say, okay, this is a positive step forward. Because let's be honest, most of these games, as we just talked about, usually do come down to the last couple of possessions. We've seen it the last 2 weeks for the Bears, or not 2 weeks, but two games for the Bears.
Right.
Caleb Williams progressed in showing, hey, defense, opportunistic, gets the turnover. I will get us where we need to be in order for Jake Moody to kick this game-winning field goal from 38 yards out. And that wasn't always the case. That wasn't how you felt at the end of games last year during that 10-game losing streak.
Yeah, I'll say it. Look, Caleb left plays on the table. We talked about the mailbox play, the force play to Roma Dunze with being blanketed. But there was and I know that Swift deserves a lot of credit for the catch and run, but identifying DeAndre Swift right there, the would-be throw to Olamide Zaccheaus, which we already talked about, that would have probably added about 50 yards to his total, by the way. And then, for me, the grand finale with Caleb Williams, and that is, I knew he was going to take the Bears. I mean, they had the ball in good field position on their own 44. But even if they hadn't, I'm at the point where I'm pretty trustworthy that Caleb Williams is going to take the team down the field and put them in a position to win. And that's the best part. Does the accuracy have to get better? Absolutely. Does identifying the open men have to get better? Absolutely. But there are also discernibly better things that he has done this year and up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's a mixed bag. But the beauty of a team sport is that it shouldn't be a multi-system organ failure if one thing isn't running at 100%. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing functioning play here enough to where somebody else is picking you up if you don't have a perfect game. It's just like Patrick Manley says. In theory, it should be somebody has the Olamide Zaccheaus game one game. There might be a DJ Moore game one game. You know, there might be one of those, like we had the DeAndre Swift game just now. You're not always going to have great games as a quarterback. You know, it's Dave Wannstedt's coach, Jimmy Johnson, who always says, show me the quarterback who doesn't make the most good plays, but the one who makes the least bad ones. Caleb Williams kind of fits under that old school thinking. Ben Johnson says that EPA is a better evaluator of it. He wants those home run balls. But for now, the major thing I don't want to see is, for example, say he takes his team down the field in Washington, his hometown team, and it's not the result of a field goal. Say that there's a turnover there, or say he tries to do too much. That would be actual regression. What we saw yesterday was not only the opposite of that. It resulted in a win, but if you look at the Bears' drives, too, they scored on the majority of their drives, and that's not even including the missed field goal that was blocked. So that would be that's a good number to show, too, as well, when you're scoring on that many drives, even if they're not touchdowns. Like, if we're talking about the NFC playoffs, then yes, you're talking about touchdowns. You're talking about the mailbox throw to Roma Dunze. You're talking about why are you forcing it to him in double coverage. You know, those are the finer points. That's when you go from good to great. But right now, I need them to go from dysfunctional to good. And I feel like you're seeing that happen.
I think the other thing, when you look at what Caleb's been able to do and what Ben Johnson has told us. I think Ben Johnson's a very direct communicator when he explains what he wants for Caleb Williams. He says Caleb Williams is going to be his point guard. And ever since he said that, it stuck with me. Here's why. They're this team that has so many different scores, if we're going with like the basketball analogy, in that just get it into your shooter's hands, the 3-and-D guys, and shooter in the corner, shooter in the corner.
Yep.
And then Caleb occasionally could take his own shot. That's what we saw on the touchdown run early in the game. And I think for me to watch Caleb Williams distribute the football and get it where it needs to be, he could do a better job of getting guys in position to make big plays after the catch. But just him not making mistakes, not turning it over, just like a point guard, you don't want to see a bad assist to turnover ratio. Caleb Williams has an excellent assist to turnover ratio.
Did you guys also notice there was a major nugget that I don't know that anybody in Bears media had discussed yet? That Ben Johnson was adamant about which foot Caleb Williams needed forward and back, and he changed his footwork out of the snap from center. It wasn't just in the shotgun, that he wants his left foot forward because of the angles of the throws. That was something that we talked about a lot with Justin Fields. I'm surprised that it took me this game to hear that, Mark. I mean, after being at Hallis Hall, I feel like that was something that maybe the broadcasters got in a meeting with the coach or something previous to the game.
Could be. I mean, it's probably worth a follow-up on that, but I am honestly, I do not know.
Yeah, that was a surprising nugget that emerged during all of that discussion. That was something that we talked a lot about with Fields, whether or not he needed to be right foot forward or left foot forward out of shotgun. And then for Caleb Williams to have that discussion at that time, yeah. I thought that was pretty compelling.
Right, and especially when it literally every time we ask about Caleb's progression throughout the year, it's always about the footwork. It's always what's better? The footwork. What can get better? The footwork.
And he even says that. He doesn't tell you when he's nervous. He doesn't tell you when he's excited. He doesn't and I'm not saying it like he's not like he's lying. I'm just saying he knows his job is to be even keel. But he will mention footwork when it comes to what he wants to work on. Like that's been something that he's said multiple times.
I want to say this. Seeing him throw for the yardage that he did yesterday with the 252 and only one touchdown, but he did have a rushing touchdown as well. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, but he only completed 58.6% of his passes. I agree. That's not good enough. But guess what? Tough game on the road. Bad conditions. Sometimes you just take what you can get. And you can look at the percentages and say, well, Jaden Daniels threw for a higher percentage. But you know what else? Jaden Daniels is out here giving the ball away.
Yeah.
A fumble and an interception. And those things matter because I don't know how y'all felt watching the game, but watching that game, I felt like every time Washington had the ball, unless the Bears did get a turnover, Washington was going to score some points because that's how easily they were moving up and down the field. Even when Brisker gets the first interception, I was like, well, the Bears look good getting down for a field goal, but Washington looks like they're about to go in for a touchdown.
Washington beat themselves, but I feel like that's common with a Dennis Allen defense. Like you're seeing that happen where he's so good at disguising looks that he will make offenses beat themselves to an extent.
I thought they had a good plan against Jaden Daniels. And yeah, Jaden Daniels, what were his numbers? Jaden Daniels was 19 of 26, 211 yards, 3 TDs, 1 pick, and obviously that costly fumble at the end, but the pressure was good. The place where the Bears got burned by him is where I figured they would, and that was some of those big runs. He had 52 yards. It was his best game rushing so far this year, I believe. I believe he also had his longest run of the year. I think it was around 20 yards or maybe a little bit longer. A
lot of RPO offense out of both those teams last night.
Yeah, so that was the part that was scary of Jaden Daniels last night. Other than that, and he made plays and all that, and the numbers weren't bad. He did not seem scary last night.
Well, and also, did you notice that it took almost the whole game for them to start, the Commanders to start attacking the underneath routes? Like we talked about Ertz, and I feel like Ertz didn't really, I feel like he didn't really bust onto the scene in that game until later. But if they had just started going underneath on Ertz because the Bears were giving that up, and I get that there's a whole defensive philosophy behind it, but it can also lose you games. Like, that's the other flip side of that, is as you're extending drives because you're allowing that underneath in the zone, and that can also hurt you.
My favorite thing about last night's box score is I'm looking and parsing through it. I was like, oh, wait, how many yards did he throw for? Caleb had 254 yards? Oh, that's interesting, because now Now he's on pace to throw for 4,008 yards this season.
Well, well, well. And again, I'll say it for the third time. If you could have added that damn Olamide Sekou, it's a 300-yard game for Caleb.
It absolutely is. Or if he had hit on the one to Rome. And I agree with this texter. He texts in quite a bit. They text in. And they said that Caleb gets caught sometimes predetermined on where he's going to go with the ball, especially to Rome. I feel the same way. We might be biased because you listen to the show, but I feel like that is the case. Am I parsing things here? Yeah, the Bears still won the game. We wanted to know what you think of Caleb Williams, too. I know we had a bunch of callers previously. This is another call segment coming up. 312-644-6767. Join us. What did you think about the offense last night? We do it next. We'll give the phones to you. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
He was the same guy throughout the entire week. Some guys like to go see family or people in the area, and he's there, and we're having a quarterback meeting, and I see him in the chow hall having some snack late at night, too. So, I mean, he was locked in, and he just was all about trying to find a way to win this game and do a good job for his teammates. So, really proud of how he handled the week.
We want to know what you think. We've talked a lot. We try to dedicate a couple of segments in our show to the callers, and they've been great for the past several days. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. I just got the most guilty look from Mark Grody because he's drinking out of clearly somebody else's coffee mug. It says Believe, though, and that's cute.
That's what I thought. I was going for cute.
Yeah, well, funny points do help. 312-644-6767. I feel like Jake in Ottawa has been on hold for an hour. Jake! I'm sorry it took so long. Hey,
no problem, thanks. I had a couple points I wanted to bring up. As far as the coach, I think Ben Johnson's really proven himself. If we have Eberflus, this team's probably 1-4 or even 0-5 because I don't even know if they have that big Cowboys game after getting beat down like that. And I think football's probably one of the sports where coaching is the most important because you got to have so many players on the same page. So I think that's a positive. As far as, you know, Daniels and Williams, I think maybe, you know, both things to be true where they're both good, right? It's kind of back when Watson and Mahomes came out, right? Watson was obviously more pro-ready, I think, right out the gate because of all his experience and all the things he's done. But Mahomes had the higher ceiling, and Kansas City seen that when they took him. And, you know, I think people forget about how good Watson was because of how long ago it was, but he was probably more pro-ready. And I think right now Jaden Daniels could have just been more pro-ready than Williams. And I don't think it necessarily means that he's got a higher ceiling than Williams, and I think down the line, as time goes by, I think it's going to be the same situation, and I think people need to give Williams credit. You know, when he has the ball, and he gets the ball at the 10, and you need a game-winning drive, as a Bears fan, I've never been more confident in a quarterback to lead us down the field and actually give us a chance to win, and that is a big breath of fresh air to be a Bears fan to see that.
And a resounding vote of confidence from Jake. Thank you for calling. Is that your call of the day, Sounder,
Robbie?
That
was my call of the day. That was a great call.
Yeah, I feel like you... That is a thing. I've noticed when we have a call of the day, that's Robbie's Sounder.
Jake was well worth the wait, first of all. I like what he said about the Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes and just kind of how that has unfolded. You never really know. And coaching makes such a difference. Also, I'm 100% with Jake on the whole idea that Ben Johnson is that dude. I mean, Ben Johnson is that dude.
Well, and again, I know that I talk about required reading, but there are certain articles that are really important when you consider how you look at the league, how you look at other teams. And the article that it was Robbie who first tipped us off to it in The Athletic, it was, came out 2 months ago, talking about what makes quarterbacks a bust. That speaks to that call. Like, they're, of course, guys aren't ready in their first year, but the problem is teams need them to be, and that's where the issue is. And then we promote the guys who are coming onto the scene in a big way because it's awesome. It's just the problem is it's like what we read in the book Quarterback about Seth Wickersham's piece. When you see Sean Payton talk about, I'm worried about what a guy does in year three, not necessarily who they think I should have drafted. All of this comes into play.
Who are, like, is Josh Allen another comp in terms of, like, a guy who wasn't great right away?
I think the issue with Josh Allen, though, is that he came from Wyoming. You know, it was a totally different pedigree.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't considered generational and elite, but I'm just talking about a guy who was given time, like, give him a little bit of time. Some people might think that Caleb doesn't have it, but maybe he does have everything we say he has, but he has it in year three or year four. It's pretty rare, though, when a guy, like, gets that much better. You know what I mean? Like, it happens, but there's not a lot of comp. Like, Baker Mayfield, I'm trying to think of other guys who improve. Geno Smith.
Sam Darnold. I mean, there's guys, although Geno Smith is kind of regressed.
Baker's had to do it a couple times. Baker's had to do it a couple times.
And so, to your points, and really to his point, I just love the idea that it's an optimal situation for Caleb Williams, and I don't know that we knew that he would be in this a year ago, that he would have an optimal situation.
Let's go to John in Dallas. John, you're on with Raheem Harrison Grody on The Score.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I got two quick points. First of all, later, I still say you're the queen of media. And my second point is,
thank you.
I think Caleb has made great progress. And the point, I like the way the coach gave him the point guard analogy. When he hikes the ball, he got to realize he's a point guard, and he's got to realize he's got to hit the open man. Somebody's always open if somebody's in double coverage. And the point guard only goes to the hole when no one else is open. I'll hang up. Thanks.
Look, I love that. And I will say this, that's another big difference between this year and last year. Someone is always open this year because Ben Johnson's the one dialing things up. Last year, you were like, why are they all covered? Why are they not getting open? There were so many questions.
Someone's always open is not exactly, that's not exactly the case. Someone may be open when you see a still frame, but I think of all the time, they're supposed to go through their reads at a certain time. They are supposed to read certain people first, second, third. You know, how much time do they have to be able to do so? And you saw yesterday, both of those guys, Daniels and Caleb Williams, were getting the ball out fast.
And me,
so fast that I had to rewind so many times just to see what protections looked like.
Me thinks Caleb Williams genuinely, and I know some people are like, duh, genuinely likes this head coach because, I mean, it's been pretty well established that Caleb Williams wasn't crazy about the previous regime, yet he would still say nice things about them in front of the microphone. The way in which Caleb is speaking about Ben Johnson lends itself to sounding genuine. Like, I, at the end of the his presser yesterday,
fawning over him,
like, oh my God, this guy's a genius. Like, he even said, like, sometimes he'll call a play and I'll be like, how's this going to work? And then it works. And I'm like, oh, I see what's going on here.
There are a couple of things, like, not to get seamhead, if you will. And I know seamhead is a baseball term, but there are some things that I really wanted to talk to you about. Tim Jenkins at 1 o'clock. Number one, I told you zone read was going to be big, did I not? Like,
yes.
Zone read was real big in this game.
You not did.
It was run, play action, zone read. Like, that was how that progression worked. And then another thing is that I saw some old school, just basic, classic spread offense formations. And what made me sad in my heart was that nobody was open on that play.
Oh, man.
And then the other part of it is, too, is that you just see how the field is completely being utilized. Like, there's a formula to it. It's like, well, here's your deep route. Here's your underneath route. Here's something that uses the perimeter. This is your option here. Like, you're seeing that when it comes to the spacing of what we're also seeing. The other part of it is it looks different when you don't always have to add protection because you're not confident in your line.
I think that last part is maybe the most important part because, let's be honest, without the offensive line playing the way it played last night, some of that stuff would have blown up in their faces. And look, it starts with the ability to run the football. And now that Ben Johnson's like, I told you I'd get this running thing figured out. If he truly has this figured out and he's got more practice ground to work with when you talk about the Saints coming to town on Sunday, if he truly has turned the corner on the running game, I'm telling you this offense is about to be unlocked in a way in which we won't talk about mid-20s for scoring. We'll be talking about the 30s.
And it would be super impressive, too, because as Ben said to us, he is spending more time working on the run game than the pass game. Do I actually believe that?
I believe it.
Yes, probably, absolutely. Because you have to put defenders in conflict. Somebody has to commit to the run game at all times in order for you to create the space you want with the separation with your receivers.
What I don't believe is what Ben Johnson said about winning these close games are better. Not when the guy said to Dan Wiederer, who wrote like an 8-page article about how Ben Johnson likes to embarrass teams. But anyway, we could talk about that later.
Sure can.
Apparently, it is Victory Tuesday, and we get honey-baked ham?
Dude, look at the spread.
Yo, I'm looking at it from out here. We'll talk about it more on the other side, but look, they hit me up. They were like, hey, you guys like ham? I was like, what are you talking about? I grew up on honey-baked ham. Like, don't bring me turkey at Thanksgiving. Bring me the ham.
They brought the Hawaiian rolls. They brought the potato salad, including paprika.
Are we eating good in the neighborhood?
And there's a Wilson football out there just for decoration. That is a nice touch.
They're setting up a whole spread.
Yeah.
Our show continues. We roll on here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. It is time for 5 on It, where we have more quick-hitting, compelling questions. And you can join in, too. Text us, call us, 312-644-6767. Hang out with our good crew on Twitch. We got a lot of people in the house today. You can do that as well. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.